This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you to our Sunday school. Yay. And to Miss D, of course. I will never look down on anybody who reads the wrong gospel again. Which fits our gospel for today, actually. Once upon a time, there was a puppy. And the puppy was new to the farm. And the puppy wandered into the barn in the early afternoon. The farmer had gone out into the fields after lunch. And he wandered into this barn and he was looking around trying to get acquainted. And he goes in front of the horse's stall and the horse looks down at him and says, "You must be new here. What are you doing here? You obviously don't have any use to us. I am the most important animal on the farm. I pull heavy loads, and I carry the master on my back. I don't know what you're doing here." Well, the puppy was really hurt and started to walk with his head down a little bit and went along and along and along, and he came in front of the cow's stable. And the cow said, "I don't know what that horse is talking about. I am the most important animal on the farm. Well, every day the lady comes to me, and I give her fresh milk, and they make butter and cheese. I provide something every day. I am the most important. I must agree with that horse, though. I'm really not sure what your use here is." So the little puppy now is feeling worse, and he's wandering and wandering, and he goes out to where the chickens are, and he sees them all laying eggs, and he thinks, well, even they have a purpose. And they start talking about him, saying, "Well, who's he? We don't know what he's doing here. We don't know what he's doing here." And so he didn't even wait to hear what they were going to say to him. He just went on his way, feeling worse and worse and worse. And then even out in the yard, he passed a cat that was chasing a mouse. And he thought to himself, even the cat has an important job. What am I good for? So he went out into the yard, and he found a tree, and he laid down under the tree, and he began to cry. And he whimpered, and he slept a little, and he whimpered, and he was so forlorn. Well, finally, the old dog from the farm came and laid down next to him and said, "It's okay, little puppy. It's all right. You will learn to find your own way, your own purpose that's just for you." And with that, the old dog went on his way. Well, the little puppy felt a little better, but was still very sad, and he turned over and he looked up and he sees the farmer coming in from the yard, and he said, "Oh, now I'll run. Now I know my master loves me no matter what." And he ran to his master, and the master picked him up in his arms and hugged him, and the puppy was just licking him all over, and he was so happy, and they fell onto the ground and they started to play and laugh until finally the farmer was all worn out and sat up and picked the puppy up in his arms and said, "You bring me so much joy. I'm so grateful for you." And the puppy was happy. It could be so easy for us to fall in to the pattern like the animals in the barn to the puppy, if we're honest. And it's very insidious. We can easily talk about other people and put them down and build ourselves up. Happened to me yesterday morning. The comeuppance did. What I was doing was Friday afternoon. Several of us went down to General Convention down in Miami on Friday and Saturday, our diocesan annual convention. And in the afternoon, we had four workshops. One of the workshops was in the main session where we had our plenary sessions, the big group meetings. And then three of the workshops were outside of that room, and so I decided to stay in the big group, And three other workshops were going on outside, so they all left, closing the doors. So about three quarters of the way through the workshop, the back door opens, and apparently the other workshops got out early because there were a bunch of people in the lobby. They're making a lot of noise, and they're laughing, and they're talking, and waiting to come back into the main meeting room. Well, every time that door opened, you could hear them, and it was distracting. So I kept turning around and then trying to concentrate and then turning around, thinking, who are these people? Who do they think they are? You know, and I was actually a little bit perturbed that they didn't realize that we were still in session. I was looking down on them, not real, of course. I mean, I was righteous to do that, I figured. So the convention went on. Next morning, I wake up. There's morning prayer at 8:30. Now, morning prayer is optional. It's also in the big meeting room. I was running a little late. And everybody was gathered outside doing their coffee and water and whatever. And I decided to go on in. There were still some people inside for prayer, and they had begun. So I was coming in late. So I went in through those doors. You hear it? The lobby was noisy, and I opened the door. I did the exact same thing that I was putting everybody else down for the day before. The exact same thing. People even turned around like, who's coming in? And it was me. It's easy to fall into this putting other people down. Now, that's a little tiny thing, but I know that I'm guilty of doing bigger things, as we all are. It's so easy to fall into it, to be like those animals in the barn, to be like the Pharisee in this parable that Jesus gives us today. Now, the Pharisees were the strict observers of the law, right? Right? Just like Mackenzie, right, Mackenzie? And while Millie over here was like the tax collector, and the tax collectors were the breakers of the law. So they were opposite ends of the spectrum, but the tax collector realized it in this parable and was asking for forgiveness. Big, big difference. The Pharisees, so they had reversed roles, basically. And so the Pharisee really wasn't there to pray at all. He thought he was, but he was just puffing himself up. I'm so great, talking about his religiosity, how much he fasted, how much he gave to the church or to the temple. And he's saying it out loud for everybody to hear. He wasn't asking for forgiveness. He wasn't praising God. He wasn't petitioning for his own needs or for anyone else's. He was really there as a self-advertisement to puff himself up, looking down on the one who was truly humble. He's saying over and over and over again, all these things that he is, which he wasn't, again and again and again and again, and it reminds me of what one of my friends says. What we're selling is your tragic flaw. Have you ever heard that? What we're selling is our tragic flaw. If we're that impassioned, if we're that putting other people down in the process, probably a good idea to take a look at that. The tax collector, on the other hand, had finally realized about his breaking the law or something else. We're not sure what he was asking God's mercy for in that moment. But this tax collector stood by himself because he didn't feel worthy enough to be with anybody else. The Pharisee was standing apart because he didn't want to associate with the tax collector. Very different reasons. The tax collector also was repenting of this wrong that he was doing, and he was also doing it out loud. When we, in our human development and in our faith development, can get to the point that Jesus is calling us to be in this parable, we self-reflect. We realize a little bit more and more and more when we aren't in line with what Christ would have us do, what Christ would have us be. And what I realized yesterday is that in all these parables that we've been hearing from the beginning of the summer, really, the beginning of July, and all the way through, will continue and through the end of November, is that these parables, Jesus would not have told his disciples and would not have been telling us if he didn't believe that we could do it. Jesus believes in us. and believes that we can do these things. It's not just some pie in the sky dream that we have. It means that when we are followers and when we trust in God to show us the way, that we really can do these things. And we won't do them all the time. And when we don't, we can ask for forgiveness and we'll be forgiven, and then we get right back up again. And we become more and more aware. This inner walk is really the metaphor of the temple in our parable, our inner life. As we hear elsewhere in Scripture, do you not know that you are the living temple? You are the temple of the living God. It's scripturally based. We carry it with us, not by ourselves, but depending and surrendering completely, completely to our Lord, completely to our Creator. In this walk, in this self-awareness, this connection with God, we come here to be fortified. And we had a speaker yesterday that quoted Evelyn Underhill, and I love this quote. She wrote, "God is the interesting thing about heaven. God is the interesting thing about church." And when people come, you're seeking a connection with God, right? I mean, that's why we're here. We're seeking a connection with Jesus Christ. And so what I am going to start to do is to expect an experience with Christ when you come to this place. Expect that. And see that in and through other people as well. We can know that and we can live that. I love that the way that our former presiding bishop, Catherine Jeffers Shorey's, calls this kind of inner awareness of how we carry these temple of the living God with us. When we associate with other people, you know, we always say we're bringing about the kingdom of God. And that, while that's true, she calls it the kindom of God. You take out the G. The kindom of God. I love that. Then we are really living out loving God and loving our neighbors as ourselves, loving our kin as ourselves. To continue to grow in our relationship with God and this inner awareness, and to understand our connection, we do have to self-reflect a bit. So upon entering, all of you hopefully received a piece of paper and a pencil, yes? If you did not, please raise your hand. We've got one up here, please, and just a few around the church. That's great. So at the very top, Lila, could you just go to her? Thank you, so she can get to the back. You can go get it from her. Yeah, Pat will give it to you. Thank you. Oh, here, she's here, Lila. She's right in the middle. So at the top of your paper, write the title. We've done this before, but it's worth doing every so often. Right at the top, I am. There's one in the very back, too. Thank you, Chris. So the title at the top of your paper, on everyone's paper, is I am. Write that now. And then on the left-hand side, number 1 to 5. There's still 2 more back there. Thank you. 3 more. 4 more. Keep your hands up so he can see. Thank you. So number 1 to 5 on the left-hand side. And now write, I am, as the beginning of each of those statements, and then you fill in the blank. You might say, I am a mother, I'm a sister, I'm a priest, I'm a teacher, I am tired, I am, whatever you want to write, I am statements, 5 of them. Just make sure they're true, that's all. And I'll know you're finished when you look up. Okay? All right, now look at your list and read the 5 to yourself. Now cross one out. Cross one out. Now cross two more out. Now one more. And now one more. And then circle the title. This exercise is not to tell you that you aren't all those things. This exercise is to tell you that you are connected to the great I am. You are made in the image and likeness of the great I am. We are not God, but we are expressions of God. And it's our job to figure out what our expression is to be in all of the statements that you made and more. In all of those ways, completely surrendering and dependent and humble. Humble. And that's heaven on earth, the kingdom of God. And we can know that because Jesus trusts us enough to give us these teachings so that we can live into it. May it be so. Amen.